So we're going to get started here. I've done the teaching kind of like this in the past, but it's been on my heart here for a little while for this. It's the perversion that I'm seeing that's taking place within education and within our country, and the normalization of things that I think are so important, and even for people in the future that hopefully come across and are watching this, that they'll see this and they'll be able to pinpoint and be able to realize and see. Don't be blind by what's taking place. You know, what's the slogan about, you know, you put the frog in the warm water and then turn the heat up? Okay, that's what's happening. The water's heating up pretty quick, but if you threw the frog in the hot water, you jump out immediately. Well, I want people to see that and feel that water is hot right now, okay, and jump out to be able to decipher. So I love this quote from John Adams. When we look at our country, a moral country is what this Constitution was made for. And our morals of a country and what we're going and the roads we're going down are starting to be diminished. And so I'm going to do a sharing today about the moral decay of what takes place in countries, to include our own, so that we can be aware, we can be watching, especially for kids and for anybody else who watches this at a future date. History of civilizations. Here's a little bit of history for you guys. You guys probably thought you didn't have any school today. Well, guess what? There'll be a test. There'll be a test afterwards. Great nations cease to exist in one of three ways. Okay? They may be slowly absorbed and assimilated into another. Now, as I'm going through this, think about this and what's taking place in the world right now. I look at Great Britain. Okay? What's taking place in Great Britain? Assimilation. Okay, what's taking place in Sweden, in Switzerland? Assimilation. Okay, things are starting to change in their country now because of an influx of people moving in that are outsiders. Okay, you saw this out throughout the Old Testament where Yahweh would tell them, be careful of the foreigners. Don't get taken in, because the next thing you'll do is you'll start worshiping their women, their idols, and you will forget about me and you'll put them ahead of what I have. Okay, second one here we're looking at. Forcefully conquered by another nation. Now, you can think about the Ottoman Empire. You can think about the Greeks, you know, conquered by the Romans. There's a lot of history about that. This is the second one. Normally, that takes place pretty quick. The first one, that can be a slower thing. Right now in Europe, it's happening pretty quick. In England, it's been slow. This has been over the last 15, 20 years. Okay. The third one, slowly but methodically degenerate into a collapsed state. Okay, and so you see this as well. I look at Venezuela as a good example of that. Okay, that was over the course of about 25, 30 years, where it just became corrupt. People started getting into ruts. They wanted somebody else. They wanted help. They didn't want to do things on their own. A government guy comes in there and tells them, I'll take care of all this, take care of all your needs. Next thing you know, the country starts to go into shambles. And then he dies off. Somebody else comes in and promises them even more, and runs the country even farther into the ground. And they're at that same period right now, that crossroad, for the next person that they elect. So you can see this happen. So to think of how a country can, or a nation can collapse or cease to exist, is things that we should be watching for and be teaching our kids as well. In many cases, the first two, the assimilation and conquest, are a slow process and can be drawn out by the degeneration of moral values. And so that's where the whole crux of this, with the little sharing is moral decay. And so the moral decay, as we see things going on, things that, I mean, if you took somebody back from the 50s or 60s, you know, that was a teenager at that time, and then brought them to where we are today, they'd be shocked. You've got to be kidding me. What's happened? Okay, what's happened? What's taken place? And so that can take place over a long period. Third case, okay, here that we're looking at, slow degeneration. The first two that I showed you here can be a long period, normally slow. The third one is a slow degeneration. Moral values, a decline of them, is always present. This is always where it stems into. And here's what's really neat. The studies that I was going through to get this information, the research, is they all start, the beginning of those civilizations start in bondage and end in bondage. Okay? And so we have to look at that and see that. Our country started out that way to a certain extent too. They left the bondage of England and the persecution of English to come here and set up. And then England followed, and so they were still in bondage to do it. And so we don't ever want to work our way backwards.
Right.
Okay? three factors that always precede a civilization's collapse. Who knows what one is? Okay? Societal decay precedes the fallen civilization. Okay? And history has shown this lots of times over and over again, and we're going to look at the three. The first one is a social decay. Okay? Second one is cultural decay. Third one is moral decay. And moral decay is the biggest one that I'm focusing on right now because we are seeing it. It is ever present in our daily lives everywhere we look. Social decay to start with here. Lots of economic discipline, okay? We are, I checked the U.S. debt clock. We are debt clock. We are just shy of $20 trillion, okay? And a lot of the Democrat leaders want to push. The new proposal that just came out this week is put everybody to 55 and older on Medicare. Medicare is set to collapse in 11 years. That's without the 55-year-olds. Okay, 11 years. It's done. No more money. It's gone. Social Security, 2032, I think is what it is. Well, that's not that far either. Okay, and so we're overloading it. And now you have people who want to pull and dip into even farther. Economic discipline often gives way to crisis of lawlessness. And boy, are we seeing this now here, even recently, ever since Donald Trump got elected and people think that, you know, the world's coming to an end. And I'm like going, this is a change of direction. It's a change of direction, but here's what we have. And we have these people here, the Antifa, and I've been following these guys. These guys are wicked, wicked group. And it's anti-fascist is what they purport to be. And they are the fascists. Remember Hitler when he had the brown and black shirts out, wrecking and breaking everything? Okay? That's them. And you see them, these people here with the black robes, black hoods, that's what they are. And this is what's happening to it. And they're forcing it upon themselves. There's not even a reason, because we had a new president, you don't like the president? This is where we go? Well, that is what's happening. Okay? This is a Black Lives Matter thing, where it was a huge demonstration, where all of a sudden, things are starting to be split apart, and people are starting to be split apart by different groups. Okay? And so, lots of things. This is social decay. And so what we're seeing is when you have the three of these come together, it's like a perfect storm of where the society and civilization and nation will start to fall. So cultural decay, this is loss of respect and tradition, okay, which I think a lot of this started it. I honestly do. The moral decay and the cultural decay go hand in hand, okay? But I see the two of these together. Lots of respect of traditioning and weakening of cultural foundations, okay? Here you have it, okay? And what's odd about this is this. When the homosexual community started pushing their way into America, it was just so that they could have equal rights, okay? And so if you didn't like it, no problem, okay? Those days are long gone. If you don't celebrate it, if you don't celebrate it with them, you're a homophobe or a transphobe or whatever phobe they want to call you, okay? So it's not enough just to say, look, get out of my face, what you're doing is wicked, okay? It's beyond that if you don't welcome it and bring it in and celebrate that we're happy for this is great, then you are on the wrong side. And this is where we're being pushed, and the kids will be pushed more and more. The adults, not as much. We can pretty much be like, going, get out of my face, what is wrong with you? But for the kids, they're going to deal with this a lot. This was a neat one. This is a billboard here in Canada. I have to acknowledge my own privilege and racist attitudes, okay? If government paying to put these billboards up. Are you kidding me? Okay, what is this? This is a cultural decay where we're being divided from within, where we have to belittle ourselves because of the color of our skin. This is the exact opposite of what Martin Luther King was trying to push, that the color of your skin, that people would be blind to it. Okay, but it's cultural decay. Education and innovation are pushed to the side because of agendas of things that come out. And so you look at college kids now, they're coming out as graduates. And I love that when Hannity used to have the man on the street, and he would go out and he'd ask these kids, and it'd be like New York University, this elite university, and these would be a law student or a student that was studying, you know, about government. And they'd ask them the most elementary questions, and the kids didn't have a clue. Did not have a clue. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah. Well, because that's not what they want to teach them. There's no history. Right now, Common Core, from what I understand, the things that I've read about the Common Core, the beginning of history for the United States starts in the 40s. They don't cover anything prior to that. Well, there's a lot that has to be covered, and a lot of faults, a lot of things that we did wrong. We're going to repeat history if we eliminate it and don't teach about it. This is a good one here. I'm going to play this. It's like a two-minute video. Just came out this last week, and it kind of made me laugh because this shows the nature. This is done on college campuses.
In your opinion, is socialism a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think people kind of throw that word around to try to scare you, but if helping people is socialism, then I'm for it.
It could really benefit our country in the future.
I think it's a good idea.
Socialism as a concept, as a philosophy, is good. I think that it's got a bad rep.
Trying to spread the wealth is definitely a good thing in America, and it's definitely a thing that's needed.
There's a lot of things with social welfare that I think would be good to have.
Do you have a positive reaction to socialism or a negative one?
I'd say a more positive one. I'm definitely more open to it.
But we should have a standard of living for all people. By default.
Venezuela has one of those, by the way.
If we did it democratically, then we could really incorporate socialism.
Like, it definitely seems like a more feasible option, and it could help more people. Like, just as a broad term, it could help more people.
Okay. How would you define socialism?
I mean, honestly, that definition gets thrown around a lot. I'm not exactly sure.
How would you view what socialism is, though? Economically, what is socialism?
Economically, So, I'm going to think about that for a second.
I guess, just specifically, just, you know, getting rid of that wealth gap in the United States.
How would I describe it as little as possible?
How would you define socialism?
I mean, it's definitely more of an open form of government, and it feels like a lot more accessible to a lot more people, and that's kind of how I see it, like being more accessible and more kind of like equal ground, yeah.
What does that mean necessarily, though?
To be quite honest, I don't know.
That's it. And so here's what's happening is people are being pushed this the same way with the homosexual, same thing with the transgender. It's being pushed that you just accept this hook, line, and sinker without any facts, without any information about it. And all you have to do is go and look about the homosexual stuff. The things that are on the Telios Ministries webpage about that gives you the facts and the history. And people, if people read that, it would open their eyes. You've got to be kidding me. This is what takes place. This is what happens. This is the diseases. These are the things that are incorporated. None of that's taught in schools. And so you're just pushed this, that socialism, you have no idea what it is. And it incorporates way more than socialism now because it incorporates wealth. You see that? That's what's being taught in the college campuses right now. Wealth gaps. So my question is, if one person's more rich, did they take away your money? Okay, I thought about that the whole time that we were in Mexico, and I'm looking up and down the beach, and beautiful resorts, just absolutely gorgeous resorts, and everybody that was there was from the United States. And I think to myself, without us being a successful nation, other nations wouldn't be able to survive. None of this would be here. None of this would be here without us. So when people say, well, you know, it doesn't roll downhill, it's not a trickle down, absolutely incorrect, but that's not what's being taught. And now it's all being compartmentalized into one thing, the socialism, that takes every liberal agenda that's continually building, like a snowball rolling down a hill, and it's picking up all these other things that are convenient for it to carry together. And you're going to be either on that side of it with it, or you're going to be on the other side of it. And it's beginning to get more and more momentum. And I think it's important to tell people so people can start researching themselves and see what is going on. And so that's why we're doing this. This is the moral decay here. Traditions are pushed aside. Religion is neglected. Some cases restricted in civilization's leadership. And so you saw that in Canada. You saw it in, I think, Sweden. You can't teach. They tried to do that in Texas. Okay, they tried to do it in Texas. There was a county that they were going to stop hate speech within a church. The hate speech was when you opened up the Bible and it taught against homosexuality. Okay, that's what it is. So don't think that those can't come upon our shores as it's come upon shores in Canada, all the way through Europe. It's happened here, it just wasn't successful yet. Violence increases, civilization's worth of human life is devalued. 50 million abortions have taken place in our country. okay? And it's still a woman's choice, okay? It's still a woman's choice. That's what's being told us. It's being doctored up and watered down. In nearly all cases, the decline in morality goes unrecognized, and I think that's the biggest thing. That's the point of it. It goes unrecognized as a degradation of society is crumbling underneath our feet. People don't even realize that it's taking place. This is all stuff that I pulled off of some studies that I did over the last few days here. Okay, this one was a good one here. This was from July 19th. Okay, Bill Nye. What's he known as?
The science guy.
Absolutely no signs to him whatsoever. This guy is he's a person who is a euthanist. He wants to kill people. Okay, that's what he wants. Climate change deniers, by way of example, are older. It's generational. So we're just going to have to wait for those people to age out. As they say, age out is a euphemism for die. It will happen. I guarantee you that'll happen. Well, what if it doesn't happen fast enough to make Bill Nye happy? Okay, what happens? Do we make it okay? Do we make it okay that these people are in the way? For crying out loud, they just did it to Charlie Gard in Britain. The hospital seized the child, took the child. The parents had no right to him. The parents are now requesting to be able to take the baby to their own home to die. The hospital has every right to that child, not the parents. Okay, these things are what happens during those social and the moral decay of a nation. So let's go here, because I do have some positive stuff in here. And for me, I look at it all the time as I go through the Word, and I think to myself about, you know, it gets me fired up when I watch some of these things, and so I have to kind of turn it off, and I'll be like going, I can't handle it. And so we got some words in here and encouragement as well as I go through it. So to preserve my voice, if somebody wouldn't mind reading that in chapter 9,
I will.
Verses 11 through 17, sweetheart, and you got it on page 656. Okay, 11 through 17. Yeah, and you can split
11,
it if you want to. You can read a couple and let somebody else. Page 656.
Up here.
Yeah.
Got it? So, chapter 9. Therefore will the eyes strengthen the adversaries of rain against him, and his enemy will hear well. A silence before and close behind this, they devoured Israel and opened the mouth. Of all this hath his anger not turned back, but still in his hand outstretched. Yet the people have not turned into him, and
that smote him.
Yahweh's host thou shalt not stop. Therefore hath Yahweh cut off from Israel head and tail, palm, top, and breast. And one day the elder and favorite, he is the head, and the prophet teaching falsehood, he is the tail. And they should have led this people forward, and have it caused them to stray. And they who led of them the sword. For this cause, over their swords, young men will my Lord not resort to, and on the fatherless and their widows will he not have compassion. For every one of them is profane and an evil doer, and every mouth is speaking vainness. For all this hath his anger not turned back, but still in his hand outstretched.
This is pretty cool too. And in that whole chapter, if you guys remember, I think it was Chuck that did the teaching on this. And this is prophecy of Christ in verse 7. And then if you look in verse 12, you see at the bottom of that, but still his hand outstretched. You'll see that again in verses 17, the bottom of 17, but still his hand outstretched. You'll also see it in 21, the bottom, but still his hand outstretched. And you also see it at the end of chapter 10, or in 10, verses 4. Okay, and so you see that over and over again, and that's a wonderful thing that you see, because you read about what's taking place, and you're like going, and yet, we're still, I think about that with Yahweh, you know, help me help you, but you got to come to me and you've got to obey me. You've got to do what I've told you to do. Flip back here a couple pages and let's go to Isaiah 3:12. And Isaiah, why don't you read this one for me? Chapter 3, verse
12. Okay. Wait, chapter 3. Oh. My people, children, are the tyrants,
and women rule over them by people who should lead them forward or cause them to stray the pathways they have to show.
That's it. And so if you look at the notes of this here, it's kind of cool because my people, children, okay, and looking at that as these are acting like children. They're grown people, and I always think about that when I think of Kim Jong-un. You know, a big, goofy kid, but is in charge, and absolutely a tyrant. Okay, but then also look there at the note there for destroyed, which is what? That's I swallowed up. Okay, the pathways have they destroyed. And so I think about that when we looked at the last scripture that we just did in Isaiah, and we're going to do a few more here in Isaiah and Jeremiah. And the pathways, you think about your pathway, and somebody else here is my objective that I'm going. I did the teaching about that with David when it was prophesied that David was going to be the seed. Guess what? Adversary would love to swallow up his pathway, disrupt his pathway any way he can. And so when I see that, yes, is what we're talking about, that the pathways they have destroyed or swallowed up. All right, let's go to Jeremiah. Flip over one book. And we're going to be on page...
712.
Thank you. Jeremiah 4, I think we're going to be on page 716. And by the way, there's no chapter 4 written in yours. Okay, you might want to write it in there. It's not in there. Okay, it just starts, I don't know if it was just left off from the printing or not, but it doesn't show a chapter 4 on there. Anyways, 422, and I'll go ahead and read this here, all the way over on the page to 717. Surely perverse is my people. Me have they not known. Foolishness they are. Yea, without understanding they are. Wise they are to commit wickedness, but how to do evil, how to do well they know not. And so, wise they are to commit wickedness. The wise is the cunning. They're crafted. They are crafted in their cunningness, how to trickery, how to incorporate. And I think about that in the academia and colleges. Yeah, this is what they're doing. They'll come out and say, yeah, you have your kids for 18 years. In 4 years, we'll turn your kid. And they are. They are. And so it takes a good roots. It takes good foundation for the kids to be able to go through this and to come out to where they're still conquerors and they're not perverse from what's being pushed down onto them. Here's a Pew Research, December 2011. Okay, in 1910, so this research is 100-year research from the Pew Research Company. Okay, 100 years. In 1910, approximately 35% of the world's total population were Christians. Okay, I would have thought it was higher than that. 100 years later, it's 32%. Now, when you look at that, you're like going, I thought it would have been higher. But 100 years, what I've seen in the last 100 years, I kind of thought that it would have been lower as well. But it's not until you break it apart and you see the dynamics of it. In 1910, 66% of the world's Christians were in Europe. 100 years later, 26%. Okay? That's a 40% decline in 100 years. Okay? And I look at what's been taking place in Europe. Europe is gone socialist from the 30s all the way on. It's become socialist. It's changed that way. And so what happens when you have a socialist beginning? You have a Christianity dying. Okay? And this is one of the things, and this is not by chance. This is the adversary working very well because one will silence the other, and you may not even realize it, but that's what takes place when this happens. In 1910, only 1% of the world's Christians lived in the sub-Saharan Africa. This is a great one. 100 years later, 24%. Okay, that's huge. That's a gigantic change. So I'm like going, well, good. So you see that taking place. China, okay, they still don't know. But the Pew Research estimated in 2011 that there are 67 million Christians now in China. That's growing. It's growing in China too. Okay? So what do we see when we look at this? As nations become socialist, just like I told you, the percentage of Christianity drops. And you can have a person who's a Christian who buys into this whole socialism thing, not realizing what takes place with it. One kills out the other. Okay? It's just like the homosexual that partners with the Muslim as they're marching together. One will counsel out the other when one's in control, trust me. This will happen. And so what you see is Christianity is moving to southern countries, okay, in Africa, some of them in the Central America and South America, and it's moving east. Okay, it's moving east as well, and so Europe is shrinking while some of the other countries are building up, and while the South of Africa, it is building as well. Socialism has become the new Baal, and this is where you see it, and this is where it's really kind of odd, because where what used to be right is now wrong, and what used to be lies or truth is now becoming lies, and they're incorporating them to what is foundational, that what we believe is Christianity is being perverted, and so everything's to be pushed. No, you can't. You know, it's the same thing with the Common Core. If you can show that 2 and 2 is 5, and you can show where you came up with that, well, it's not really wrong then. And I'm like going, yeah, it really is. It really is. It always is. And so this is where we have to have a good foundation and be set. Let's go to Isaiah 5. Now, who would like to read this one for me?
I will.
Okay. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Page 652. I think we were already there, weren't we? Pretty close to that area.
You got it?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Okay. Alas for them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Alas for them who are wise in their own eyes and in their own sight are prudent.
That's it. And so this is where we're seeing it, that this is being pushed. And if you question it, all of a sudden, you're the outsider and you're the homophobic, you're the transphobic, you're the person who's causing the problems. You're the old person that doesn't want to buy into the climate change, okay? Because trust me, the old people with the climate change, there are just as many young people that don't buy into that as well. Well, you're in the way. You're in the way of what we call progress. Okay, progress is just another euphemism for socialism, is all that is. Okay, so when you hear somebody say that, oh, we're part of the progressive movement, that's what that is. Okay, it's just a way to butter it up, because socialism is not completely accepted. It is on college campuses, but other places, we have to use a different word. Okay, and it's the same thing. But this is it, when we see that evil good and good evil, light for darkness. Okay, and so this is where we have to be firm in foundation. Flip back to Jeremiah one more time. Jeremiah 2. Lycia, why don't you read this one here for me too? And it will be chapter 2, verses 7 through 9.
Okay. Then brought I you into a country of garden land to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. And yet when ye entered, Then defiled you, ye my land, and mine inheritance ye made an abomination. The priests said not, where is Yahweh? And they who handled the law did not acknowledge me. And the shepherds transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. And so after the things that could not profit did they walk. Therefore, yet further will I plead with you, declareth Yahweh. Yea, with your children's children will I plead.
And that's it. And so the second generation, what we're talking about there, is that the perversion. And so my question, I guess, is this. Do we see it taking place within the mainstream Christianity in the United States? Yes, they're welcoming. And I just saw one come out not long ago that Christians have got to get over the whole homosexual things. They've got to get over it. Okay, it's slowing us down and it's causing us hurt. Well, what's happening is they're trying to pull us in. Remember that snowball of all this junk that's getting wrapped into it? They want you in it. Because if you're not in this snowball of crud that's rolling downhill, that's gathering steam, you're on the outside and you're causing problems. And so even people now that are in the Christian realm are pushing it for people that are inside, that are holding true to Yahweh's word, to... let's not talk about that. Let's just go past that. Well, pretty soon we're going to have what? We're going to have this much of Yahweh's word, okay? Before it's all taken away. And then of that, well, that's just kind of a manuscript. We'll read that when we need to. And that's where we're going if we don't stand firm and stand strong against it and have good foundation. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. Love these two books. They're great because they foundational, especially when you know the history of what took place. And so we always try to use history to keep from repeating it. All right, 23, 25 through 27. I'll read this here as soon as I get to it. Okay, where are you? 25, okay. 25 through 27. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy in the name falsely saying. Make sure I'm in the right. Yes, I am. Okay. Saying, I have dreamed. How long shall it be in the heart of my prophets to be prophets of falsehood and prophets of deceit of their own heart, of their own heart? Why lay a plot to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they relate? Every man to his neighbor, just as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. And I'm going to read 28 as well. My prophet, with whom is a dream, let him relate it as a dream. And with whom is my word, let him speak my word as truth. What is the chaff to the wheat, demandeth Yahweh, or declareth Yahweh, demandeth Yahweh. And so it will be proven. And so when we hear those things, when we hear somebody, because what's going to happen is as time progresses, there's going to be people that you love to hear. You love their teachings. They're inspirational in some way or another, and they're going to come out, and they're going to have been consumed by that snowball that's rolling down. And you're going to be like going, you've got to be kidding me. What the hell's going on? And we have to realize that that's the wheat to the chaff. The word of Yahweh will separate those two, not the momentum of a group or a progress of what's taking place within a country or nation, only the word. And so that's where we have to be ready to go to it. And yeah, it's not going to be popular. We're going to be like going, golly, you know, the people who are sitting on my side of the bench are diminishing. What's happening? And that's where we have to tell people, and we have to cry out, be that voice to be doing that. And so I love, again, Jeremiah and Isaiah are wonderful with that. This is great. Do you remember Attorney Bork was up for Supreme Court? Ted Kennedy really, really went against this guy. Okay. Many now want the deviant to be normalized and the normal made deviant. Okay, this was years ago that he said this. Okay, nothing's changed. This is becoming more and more relevant. And so people laughed at him when he said this. They're like going, are you kidding me? But the word that we read says evil good. They call evil good. Well, when was this written? Did anything change? No. No, we're in this time, so we see it. But this was a guy who was a very righteous man who should be on our Supreme Court, okay, that was shut out. And this is what he said. And I'm like going, absolutely right on point. Okay, and Abraham Lincoln loved him. We the people are righteous masters of both Congress and the courts, not the other way around. Okay, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow men who pervert the Constitution. And so when we see that, when we see all these things being pushed in, and you know, I always laugh because the preamble of the Constitution is a, what is it there for the. I can't remember exactly how it says, but they call it the Good and Plenty Clause. Okay, because anything, the general welfare. So you've heard that, the general welfare clause. Well, they put that in there for the general welfare. Anything that can't fall into that, that they want to make fall into it, they put it in under the general welfare. Well, that's general welfare. Well, what's general welfare? That homosexuals should have more rights. That we have to make it that if you own a company, you have to hire them. Okay, there's a guy out right now who says that people who will not, he's a guy in Colorado that's one of the biggest homosexual lobbyists, pays millions of dollars. He's a billionaire. I can't remember the guy, something Dell, Tim Dell or something like that. Millions of dollars that he puts into this fund. He says that if he spends his last dime spending it on this, he will be happy. And that's what he's doing. And he's calling now for the persecution, not if you don't accept it, but you have to participate into it. Churches now have to be forced to participate. And that's where they're going. And what's going to happen when the government gets the progressives get on the side? And they say, yeah, we're going to make you do it. And if you don't, we're shutting you down. Okay? And people look at that like, well, that'll never happen in our country. And I'm like, well, it's at our doorsteps. We've got to fight this, and we've got to be prepared and be ready with the word and to know what we're saying with this. And next one. Let's go. Okay. Next slide. Well, I don't know why it's not jumping to it. All right. Well, for some reason, I have to go to it manually. So that's not a problem. I'm going to read this here, if I can get it to come back on here. We're going to go to Psalms 37. Okay. Who knows how many verses there are in Psalms 37? Can you guess?
155
and 37. 37 wins because it's the closest. I won't tell you. It's a great one, and to me, this is very, very important as we look at it for Christians, especially when you feel defeated by what's taking place and you get angered, which I do. I can't watch it. I turn it off. Can't watch most of the news anymore. Just can't deal with it. I'm like going, it's gross. And we're not dealing with things the way we should be dealing with them. But there are 40 verses. What's the significance of 40?
Probation.
That's it. Probation. So I love it. It's great. But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read this. Might ask some people to read with me here. Chapter 37. This is the inherit the earth. Okay? Inherit the earth when we look at that. So when you hear people talk about that, this is where we look at. This is future. But it talks about the junk that we're dealing with right now. And I'm like going, the first couple verses is almost like speaking directly to me. Okay, so we'll start off here. David, an alphabetical psalm. Burn not with vexation because of evildoers. Like, thank you, Yahweh. Okay, I need to hear that. Burn not with it, because I think to myself, I sometimes feel like I want to engage back against. So I want to react to the reaction, to what they're doing. I want to react to it in like mind. And I think to myself, I can't do that. I can't do that. And it speaks to me. What's your question, sweetheart?
I know Psalm 37,
8
through
9. 8 through 9, I'll tell you what. When we get to it, you don't read it. You recite it, will you?
Yes.
Okay, I'll read it all the way to 8. Burn not with vexation because of evildoers. Be not envious of the workers of perversity, for like grass soon shall they wither, and like green herbage shall they fade. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on fidelity. Yea, rest thy delight in Yahweh, that he may give thee the requests of thy heart. And I love that. Yahweh knows what those requests are, and he knows the strife that you're in, and he knows the wickedness of this day and this age, and he's telling you, let me be there that I can give the requests of your hearts. Roll on Yahweh thy way. Trust also in him, and he will effectually work. So will he bring forth as the light thy righteousness, and thy vindication as the noonday. The bright Sunday, that is what we're talking about, the high noon. Be resigned to Yahweh, yea, wait with longing for him. Burn not with vexation, second time, at him who prospereth in his way, at the man who doth wickedness. Go ahead, 8-9, sweetheart, from memory.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Burn not with vexation only to do with evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But as for them who wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth.
That is awesome. Good job. That's it. And so that's our promise. And so again, the third time, burn not. Okay, and so I have to read that and be like going, okay, separate myself from that. Focus on the promises. And I focus about that like grass, soon they shall wither. Okay, verse 10, yet a little therefore, and the lawless one shall not be. Yea, thou shalt look about over his place, and he shall have vanished.
Yay.
Who will read 11 through like 15 for me? When you kids want to?
Does that mean eventually we want to see Hillary Clinton?
Yes. And I think to myself, I'm like going, okay, don't let that be a celebration, but at the same time, yes, okay, burn not, but know that those days are numbered. Those days are numbered, for crying out loud. It's a vapor and a wind, okay? And so I'm like going, okay, so be it. Promises. Okay, 11 through 15, go ahead.
Okay. For the patient oppressed ones shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves over the abundance of prosperity. Plotting is the lawless one against the just, and gnashing upon him with his teeth. My Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day will come. A sword have the lawless drawn out, and have trodden their bow to bring down the oppressed and the needy, to slaughter the upright in life. Their sword shall enter into their broken heart, and the bow shall be broken.
Yeah, and I love this, because see, this is where I think about this, where I've had these conversations with Christians, where like going, you know, if things come against us, we, you know, in the Old Testament there were just chariots and you know, armor. and, you know, bows and arrows. And I think to myself, oh, you little faith.
Yeah.
Who cares what they're saying? What does it say is going to happen? Their own swords are going to go in their own hearts. So if it's a tank, is the tank going to go into their own hearts? I don't care what weapon you come at me with. That weapon will be used against you. Okay, so bring any weapon you want. Yeah. If this is a sword, who cares? And so I look at that and I'm like, going, yeah, okay, have faith, have faith. And no, okay, who wants to go 16 through 20? Go ahead. Melania, you go.
Better the little of the religious man than
righteous
man, that the abundance of the lawless who are mighty. For the arms of the lawless shall be broken, but Yahweh is upholding the righteousness. Yahweh knoweth the days of the blameless, that their inheritance unto time's age abiding shall continue. They shall not be ashamed in the time of calamity, and the days of famine shall they be filled.
That's it. Okay. Who wants to read Elijah or Isaiah? You want to read 20 through 25?
Yep.
Okay.
For the lawless shall perish, and the foes of Yahweh be like the glory of the meadows. They have vanished. In smoke they have vanished. A lawless man boweth and will not reply.
Repay.
But a righteous man sloweth.
Showeth
favor and given. For such as are blessed of him shall in turn
inherit
the earth. But the curse of him shall be cut off. For Yahweh are the steps of the man made firm. When with his way he is well pleased, those he fall, he shall not be herded headlong. For Yahweh is holding his hand. Young have I been, moreover am old, ye have not seen. A righteous man forsake, nor his seed beggeth bread.
And I'll read here for a little bit. All day long is he showing favor and lending. His seed, therefore, shall have a blessing. And prior to this, what I was reading there, that the man is still giving. And so basically what I'm gathering out of that is not to be consumed and cold and cut yourself off from, because you're sick of what you see and you're upset, but to still be giving and to still be living and to still be doing the things that Yahweh's calling you to do as we're supposed to. Okay, so let's go to verse 27. Turn from evil and do good, and so settle down unto time's age abiding, for Yahweh loveth justice and will not forsake his men of loving kindness, or said unto time's age abiding, but have perverse been destroyed, and the seed of the lawless been cut off. The righteous shall inherit the earth, that they may settle down to futurity thereupon. The mouth of the righteous man softly uttereth wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice, and the law of his Elohim is in his heart. His steps shall not swerve. Wendy, would you read some for me? Can you read the rest of it all the way through 40?
The lawless man lieth in wait for the just, and seeketh to put him to death. Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait for Yahweh, and observe thou his path, that he may exalt thee to inherit the earth. On the cutting off of the lawless shalt thou look. I have seen a lawless man, a tyrant, and spreading himself out like a cedar in Lebanon. Then I passed by, and lo, he had vanished. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for there is a hereafter for the bed of peace. But transgressors are to be destroyed together, and hereafter of lawless men is to be cut off. The hereafter of lawless men is to be cut off. But the deliverance of the righteous is from Yahweh, their refuge in a time of distress. Thus hath Yahweh helped them. Thus hath he delivered them. He will deliver them from the lawless and will save them, because they have sought refuge in him.
That's it. That's it. And that's why I love that. And so when we look at that, the one thing I would not ever want somebody to think of is I love this country and I love being in it, and we are the most blessed. We have so many things, and so we're not in a bad predicament. But I think about it this way. If you had a viper, a poisonous viper, that lived on your property, and you tried to walk around it, okay? And your kids, you had kids that were going to be out and around with that. You wouldn't tolerate it. Right. You would remove that. You would get rid of it because you can't chance it. It's too much of a chance to let that thing creep in and do destruction. And so that's what this is when I talk about that, that we're looking at the decay. The moral decay is that viper. And so we have to be on guard and on edge, but we live in a great country. And there's, I look at the optimism that we have right now. It's not been like this for long periods of time, and we live with great abundance of things that are available, and you'd be able to go to the store and buy anything you want 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we live in a wonderful era. The thing is we don't allow the viper to be coming in, and we squash that out when it comes in. And so that's the whole thing with the moral decay. It's not a beat down of our country. It's where things will try to go, and when you let that little bit in, the rest will try to push its way in through. Okay? And so that's it. We have one thing here for Baby Ruth.
Where is Ruth?
Yeah, we'll go ahead. Let's go ahead and close here, and then you can go grab her here. So I'm going to close with the word. Yahweh, we thank you again for everything that you've done. We thank you for the men and women that you've put before us through the history that stood righteous, that we're able to learn from them, the things that you have written in your word, Yahweh, that we're able to learn, that we're able to speak these truths, and that we hold firm to these truths, for it is the only foundation. Without it, we're like a boat that is unmoored from its harbor and just drifting wherever the current or winds take us, and we do not want to be that. We want to be securely fastened, even through the storms, through the good times, the title changes, to all times. We want to be fastened to your foundation and to your word. So we thank you that for that, Yahweh, that we're able to continually read your word and study it and find new discoveries and wonderful jewels that have just been buried in there, that as a father you're watching as a child unwraps a present to see when they discover these things. So we thank you, Yahweh, for that, for the things that you've buried in for us to go in and discover and read and research. And so we thank you that we are able to be free to read these and love your word and love your ordinances and your commandments. We thank you for that, Yahweh, and for all that you give. And we just all these believers, we intercede for and speak this all in your son's name, Christ Jesus.